Starting this new series this morning, Things I Wish Jesus Never Said. That's right. And I really do mean that. Because, I mean, a lot of times in church, it's like, you know, everything that he says out of his mouth is supposed to be like, yes, that's so good, you know? And then you have someone who's just like, yeah, this is so great. And then you're at a place where you're like, that's not really that good. Like, I don't necessarily like what he has to say. Because there's so many things that he says that create friction in our life. There's so many things that he wants for us and has planned for us that forces us to take kind of an honest look at ourselves. It forces us to be able to really look ourselves in the mirror. And sometimes, for some of us, when we look in the mirror, we don't like what we see. You know, I mean, others of you, you might be like, I'm looking good, like right now, I'm looking real good, you know, when you look in the mirror. But when you get really honest about what he says, what he's calling us to, how we're supposed to live life, how we're supposed to make decisions, and then you look at kind of where you're at, sometimes it can seem somewhat overwhelming. Sometimes it seems there's this chasm between this life he's calling me to lead, you know, to lead, and then where I'm at. And we wonder, or I wonder, like, am I different than other folks? Because I feel as if maybe I'm not doing very well in some of these areas that he's calling me, you know, to serve and to do and to lead and make decisions in. I mean, things like loving your neighbor. I mean, you ever had a neighbor you didn't like? None of you. I'm sure none of you, right? I mean, you're all good, right? I mean, we're like, when he says that, like, love your neighbor, like, he's not talking about people that are likable. I mean, of course he's talking about people who are likable and lovable. Like, let's just go to the area that it's most difficult to kind of, you know, apply that to. People that are a pain. I mean, people that are disrespectful. I mean, people that have, like, they don't care about you. They don't care about your life. They don't care about, you know, what's going on. And yet, those are the kinds of people that when Jesus says, hey, love your neighbor, you know, love them as yourself, like, that's where kind of the rubber meets the road on those kinds of, you know, kinds of things. When he says, hey, don't judge, right? Or you're going to be judged according to that standard. It's like, I'm good at that. Like, I'm really good at judging, you know? It's like, it could be a spiritual gift, right? And don't act like y'all don't judge either, right? Because you know you do. We just right away sometimes just go right into judgment mode. And yet Jesus is like, hey, listen, There's another way to do this. And so if you ever get caught kind of in the midst of judgment, and then his words, it's like, man, sometimes I'm so kind of far off from where he wants to be. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount, I think if I was in the crowd when he was giving that in Matthew 5, like, I bet if just to be really honest, you know, I would be like, he has to be kidding. Like, there's just no way. You know, it's, he's like, hey, you know, you've heard that it said don't murder. But hey, if you get angry, you call someone you fool, then you're guilty of basically one of the big ten. Like, fool? Like, really? Like, that's it? Like, fool? Like we've superseded that, I'm sure, in calling things of people that we didn't necessarily like or were frustrated with. So there's a lot of things that Jesus says that we're to do that honestly, they're difficult to apply to our life because of that friction. But here's the thing about the things that Jesus tells about his life. It's different sometimes than us as parents. Because sometimes as parents, get to a place like your kids may be really annoying or bugging you or whatever, and then you're like, hey, don't do that. And they're like, why? And you're like, because I said so. None of you have done that? Right? We've all explained ourselves, well, it's because, you know, not all the time, right? We're not always there all the time. But usually there's a reason behind it. And so there's a reason why Jesus gives us these words in Scripture, because they're to bring out life in us. They're to foster a relationship with him. I mean, he lays out kind of all the things that could potentially kind of derail us, to take us off the track, you know, to move us further away from, one, where life is best lived in a relationship with him, where joy happens, where peace happens, where all the things that we do desire in life that may not be very readily kind of visible to us or understand it until we've made that turn. We're far down that road and we realize that we're far off from the will of God. And so in this series, we're going to kind of go after just a few things that Jesus said that I think are applicable. They relate to where we are because they're difficult to apply it. And so this morning we're going after worry. Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Like, how many of you worried this week? Right? Show of hands. Okay, now we have some people lying in here. Right? We all kind of find ourselves worrying. And for some of us, we worry about, like, different things. We worry in a sense of when we have more responsibility, sometimes that brings along more worry. Now, when I was thinking about it this week, you know, oftentimes when I have to talk about certain things, you know, I'm just like, I know, you know, I kind of, with the help of the elders, create the, you know, the series. So I kind of bring it on myself, but it's like, don't worry. And I'm like, oh, I'm worried this week, you know, so I'm not standing up here being like, if you want to see what a worry-free, stress-free person is like, then just watch me carefully. Because my kids would be like, yeah, no, not him. It's something that I think for all of us, it can be difficult. There's these seasons as well as these moments as well as certain circumstances, certain areas of our life where we might be more prone to worry than others. Well, this week I was trying to think like, wait a minute, worry can't be all bad, right? And so, like, I was trying to justify a little bit of my worry, you know? It's like, when you worry, like, worry kind of gets us to a place of where we protect ourselves, right? Worried about a car accident? Well, I'm going to put on my seatbelt. So that worry must be good. You know, you worry about, you know, taking care of your family, and so you might work a little bit harder, you know, to provide. Worry kind of helps you stay on track. Worry kinds of, it helps, it's an expression of love when you worry about your kids. And so I was kind of going through like this list that I had, and I was like, Jamie, you know, this, so worry part of it is good. So I think, you know, something's off there. She's like, that's discernment. And like, you're wrong. I have a seminary degree. I'm pretty confident. I didn't say that. I'm not stupid. I was like, you're right, honey. You're right. Absolutely. I am dumb. But there are things that we might worry about or we think it's worry, but really it's wisdom. It's discernment. There are things that when we see kind of harm coming our way that we plan for, and we're supposed to do all of that. But when that worry turns into anxiety, that's where the trouble comes in. Because in that worry in the New Testament, it's defined as being divided or distracted. And so when we start worrying about our finances, we start worrying about our relationships, we start worrying about our health, we start worrying about, you know, whether I'm going to make this flight or not make this flight, maybe the little things, you know, in life that can really bring stress, it divides and it distracts us away from God. All of our focus then becomes that thing. It becomes what we hope might come. And depending on how you're wired, some of us worry more than others. You know, some of us might go to kind of worst case scenario kinds of places where we're like, man, if this doesn't work out, well, I mean, this whole thing is going to fall apart. And so we kind of just go there. We go to the very end. And so we allow that worry to kind of take over. Well, there's some statistics about worry that I found. And it says 40% of what we worry about actually, like, just never happens. So 40% of what we worry about, like, we think about it all the time, and you know what? It never comes to fruition within our life. 30% of what we worry about, it's already happened. It's like in the past. It's something, you know, some other circumstance that we no longer have control over, but it's kind of history within our life. 12% of what we worry about is kind of an unfound criticism that someone has of us. So someone, for whatever reason, is upset with us or doesn't like us or for whatever reason. And so we worry about that, and yet it's not grounded. 10%, we worry about our health. And then the remaining 8% is actually things that kind of are going on within our life where we can control. And so if you kind of just look at that kind of in general, so 92% of what we worry about, we have absolutely no control over the outcome. And then 8% of it, us worrying probably doesn't help, you know, help out that 8% anyways. And so we worry about all kinds of things. You know, if we don't have enough knowledge, we worry about not having enough knowledge. You know, if we have, you know, too much knowledge, we worry about, you know, maybe not, we need more. If we have more money, you know, we worry about losing the stuff that we have. If we don't have enough money, we worry about not having enough money. You know, if we are poor, you know, we worry about, you know, not having the money that we need. If we're old, we worry about facing death. If we're young, we worry about facing life. I mean, it just kind of goes on and on and on about what we worry about and why we worry about it. But the bottom line is that Jesus said, don't worry. And so this is a perspective change. This is a shift in who we are. This is the shift that happens from, you know, we lived life one way, the old self, to the new self. Because when we get to the new self of giving our lives over to Christ, then there's kind of this new set of worldview that we kind of take on, of how we look at our life, how we look at our stuff, how we look at what's most important to us. The problem is that it's so easy to kind of just grab that old life, these old life moments. Anybody have old life moments? Where, like, you just jump right back into it, you have the same responses, and then it might be over with, like, in a second, and you're like, what was that about? Like, why did I jump back there and pretend as if, you know, I didn't know that God was there? Why did I act as if I didn't have any faith? And I think that's what troubles me most for me about worry in my life, because when we worry, it shows that I don't have faith in God. When I worry, I basically get to a place of where I'm insulting God and who he is, what he's capable of, and what he has said he's going to do within my life. It's as if he's there, he is there, and he wants to respond, but I'm saying, you can't do it. You can't handle this for me. You're not big enough. You're not powerful enough. You don't know the details of it, or I have a better idea of how to handle it. So let's look at what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 6, specifically, when he said, don't be anxious. So it gets to a place of, you know, taking this worry that we may have, but when worry kind of turns into anxiety, it gets to a level of where it distracts and divides us from what's most important. So in verse 25 of chapter 6, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And so right away he digs into the fact that when we worry, it distracts us from what's important. Now, think about that for a moment, because a lot of times when you come into, you know, a gathering, you're hearing about Scripture, and, you know, we're going through this, and you're like, hey, listen, guys, just don't worry. Just stop. And then it's just real simple, right? It seems real simple. And then you're like, well, hold on, Scott. If you heard what the doctor told me, you'd be worrying. If you knew where my finances are, you would be worrying. If you knew the state of my marriage or, you know, my relationship with my kids, it's not that easy. It's not that easy to say, hey, listen, just don't worry. But see, what worry does is that worry takes us, you know, away from God. It takes us on to something. It takes us away from what's most important, and it starts lying to us. That's what worry does. Worry lies to us. Worry starts, you know, spinning these lies in us. You know, well, if this happens, then this happens, and if that happens, then that happens, you know, and then you get further and further, you know, kind of down the road, and we take our eyes off of, one, who God is, and how we're valuable. I mean, when you read through that verse, and he's like, you know, look at the lilies of the field, you know, and God takes care of them. You know, it's this simple illustration, but it's like, he takes care of the flowers. He's going to take care of you. Like, I don't know if that's real comforting. You know, as I read through that sometimes, I'm like, okay, I'm more valuable than a flower. Okay, like, I'm going to think twice about, like, well, I just mowed some flowers down in the backyard. But it kind of points us back to God's economy and reminding us of who he is and who we are. Because Jesus is pointing to a larger story here of obviously what he's about, what he values, and what he put his life on the line for. You and me. And so when we worry, it kind of takes our eyes off of that. Verse 27, it says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? When we worry, it doesn't help. When we worry, it just takes time away from us. I mean, by worrying, he's saying, listen, has that ever added value to the situation? Like, when you worry, has that ever made, you know, your family life better? When you worry about your finances and providing for your family, and you take that in from work and you bring that into, you know, the kitchen table and you're sitting there with your family, has that ever made it better? Has it ever made better conversations, or has it made you more impatient? Has it made you, you know, where fear starts controlling your words and your responses, you know, and your relationships? I mean, has worry ever got you to a place where it actually made your health better when you were told your health wasn't good? No, in fact, it probably did the opposite and made your health even worse because you're worried about your health. And so when we worry, all it does is subtract, right? It takes away. And see, that's not what God's about. It's not about taking away. He's about adding to life. And so it's kind of just a real kind of reasonable, common sense kind of thing that when we worry, it's emotional, right? We move away from reason. And so we move away from reason to a point of where someone's like, hey, stop worrying about that. I mean, that's not going to help you. And it's like that statement doesn't necessarily help either, right? There's nothing worse than being worried and totally stressed out. And someone's like, dude, don't stress. Just let it go, you know? And you're like, I'm going to let this go. You know, don't tell me not to stress. Don't tell me not to worry. You don't know me. You don't know my life. You know, it sounds like a rap song. Right? You can get into that. And so sometimes it's so much easier just to say, hey, just stop worrying. But yet Jesus is getting real reasonable here and saying it doesn't help in any shape or form. It doesn't get you ahead. Verse 29, he says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Here we are. We're back to flowers again. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Right? Plants, they don't stress. Right? At least I don't think they do. Animals, they don't stress. Trees, they don't stress. I mean, of God's creation, we stress. You know, we worry. And so in verse 30, it goes on and he says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? I mean, what he's saying here is the fact that when we worry, we don't take into account God's love for us. That's why it distracts us in our relationship away from him. Because we get to the point of self-help. That's what worry does, right? Worry is a place where we go, you know what? I need to muster up. I need to figure out how to get through this. And you know what? Yes, you might need to think through how to get through a problem. But when that worry and that anxiety is present, we've lost sight of who God is. We've lost sight of who we are in Christ and our value to him. And when he calls us and tells us to call upon him to bring our problems and our issues to him, we kind of put that off on the wayside. And he goes on in verse 31. I'll read that again. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or drink? What shall we wear? Verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself, sufficient for the day in its own trouble. And so Jesus, he kind of wraps up this thing of saying, hey, listen, this is all about perspective, about who God is, who you are, how much you're loved by him. And when you go out and you worry, I mean, this is sort of the zinger. He's going, that's what people who don't believe in me do. That's the rub. You act like you don't know me. You act like you're not a believer. You act like you're not a disciple. You're acting as if God doesn't care or love you. You act like he doesn't love and care for you enough that he's going to step in and take care of this issue or walk alongside you to get you through it. That's what we act like. We act like what he says, pagans here. And so we rely on me and we don't rely on God. And so when I worry about mistakes, you know, in in the past, I'm kind of proclaiming that I don't believe that God will forgive me when I worry about maybe the things that I've done. I worry the fact that maybe God doesn't forgive me. When we do that, and you think about that for a second, you're like, wait a minute, if God can forgive me, why can I not forgive myself for maybe something from the past? Why do I continue to worry about it? When I worry about things of the present, you know, I'm proclaiming kind of that I don't believe that God can control circumstances or situations. You know, I'm believing that God's not big enough to handle my today when I worry about the present. You know, when I worry about the future, I'm kind of proclaiming that I'm not sure that God's actually going to take care of me. I mean, this is kind of a real thing for a lot of people when you go, you know what? Yes, God, I believe that God loves me. I believe that he can take care of me. But, and there's always this but part, but I'm not sure that he will. But I'm not sure that he will for me. I'm not sure he's going to be able to, or he's going to meet my needs. I mean, sometimes we'll stop ourselves and be able. Oh, he's able. Oh, he's powerful. You know, oh, I know he's done that before because I heard so-and-so and how God interceded and provided. And it's amazing that God did that, but I'm not sure that he's going to do that for me. And so as Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, our lack of faith is revealed in our worry. And so our perspective, it starts with, I mean, that's what worry does. Worry reveals our faithlessness. So instead of like being kind of down on yourself, kind of Debbie Downer, oh, hum, I must not have good faith. I worry all the time. Let's not do that this morning. Let's not get down on ourselves if we worry. So if you worry, if you're worried now, if when you leave this place, you're worried about a specific thing, don't get down on yourself about it. But let's look at the fact that that is the Spirit revealing something in our life that we can give to him. That God is revealing something in our life that shows that, you know what? I'm not putting my faith in him. I'm not putting my faith in his character. I'm not putting my faith in his will. You know, I'm not putting my faith in the fact that he loves me and he's proved it by dying on the cross for me and raising from the dead to give me life, and not just for eternity, but for today. Now, does that mean that God's going to take care of every problem? No. Does that mean that God's going to bless you financially? I mean, nobody got the Powerball. Like, I mean, if you're hearing my tithe message, right? I'm like, we don't tithe, we give, you know, all that. It totally changes if you win Powerball. It's like, that's an amendment to that thing right there. It's like 10%, you know, and then we're going to start meeting in the Bahamas. Especially today. You know, it's this thing that, oh, you of little faith, to allow our worry reveal where we need to grow in our faith. It's not about getting down on ourselves and going like, well, so-and-so has better, you know, more faith. Yeah, some people have the gift of faith. Some people, it's just like they have so much faith, it seems fake for those of us that worry, right? You're just like, wow, that's, you're nuts. Like, you're really crazy. Like, you're not worried. Like, you're just that much faith in God. And that's what he does in the body of Christ, is that he gifts people differently so they can encourage us when we are, you know, lacking faith within our life. But to allow this to kind of reveal. So here's the thing for this week, is that when you get to a place of where you're worrying, is to just stop and take that to God. Stop and say, what is it that I'm worried about? What is it that I think will happen to me if whatever circumstances I think is going to happen, usually some negative aspect, you know, if that comes to fruition, well, then what? And to bring it to God, because here's what Jesus said that we're to do with a proper perspective of him and a proper perspective on our value is this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, right? We've heard that. If you've been around church for long enough, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things shall be added to you, right? It's like, yes, that's a verse that's hanging in some of your houses. But the context is worry that he puts that into when you think about it. Because we worry about finances. Some of you worry about finances. You worry a lot about finances. Some of you, like, you don't feel like you're successful. You don't feel like you've made it. You don't feel like you're good parents because you're not providing as much as you feel like, for whatever reason, standard that you should be providing for your kids. And so, because of that, you worry. Some of you guys, maybe you don't make as much money as you feel like you should make. And so your pride is hurt big time. You feel like you should provide better for your family. And so finances is usually a huge source of stress. When it comes to your health, you know, you're not healthy. Yeah, maybe it's because of poor decisions, or maybe it's because you did nothing wrong. It just happened. Life happened. The fact that death is real and our bodies are dying, and you know what? There's disease, and you got something, and you got to deal with it. And so you stress because, you know what? There's just not an easy answer. There's just no silver bullet. There's no, like, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. And so we worry about that. God, if you could just take care of this, then. Finances, God, if you could just help me make a little bit more money or close this deal, then. Some of you in relationships, that, you know what? They're difficult relationships. I mean, if we're honest, marriage is not supposed to be easy, right? It's kind of, that's where the real iron sharpens iron is there. And so even, you know, marriages that are dynamic, you're working at it. And some of you might be in marriages that, you know what, they're really tough. Far from sharpening one another, except for maybe wanting to sharpen a knife, you know, because you're just at a place where, over the line, over the line. Okay, sorry. You did not hear that, you know, here. But it's tough. I really thought marriage was going to be this way. I thought he was going to love me the way that I dreamt that he was going to love me, or what it seemed like when we got married. You know what? I thought she was going to be that perfect partner for me. And over the years, it just seems that not much partnership happening, you know, in this marriage. You know, and so it brings this constant stress where, again, failure enters in. You know, when a relationship fails, and then you feel like a failure. You feel as if, you know, and so all these failures, whatever they may be in life, or all these fears, whatever they may be in life, then they hit us the feel of feeling like, you know what, I shouldn't feel this way. I've made poor decisions. And so then we start worrying about it. And then we bring that worry even back to our relationship with God and go, you know what, I haven't performed as well as I should have before God, because a good Christian is supposed to do all of these things, and marriages are supposed to work out, and relationships, all of them with your kids, are supposed to work out, and finances are supposed to be good, and health is supposed to be good, because if you are faithful, then God's going to bless you. I must be doing something wrong. And so then we worry. And it divides and it distracts us away from God. So what does he say? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what he's saying is saying, hey, listen, okay, there's nothing wrong with seeking after that job or those finances or that marriage or even better health. All good stuff. There's some good things there. But first, you go after the king. First, you go after Jesus. Because here's what happens when we do that, is that we invite the king into the moment. We invite the king into the circumstance. We invite the king into our finances. We invite the king into our relationships and into our marriages and into our jobs and everywhere else we are, and we invite his kingly power to handle it for us. Because that's what he said he would do, is that he wants to be in the midst of it. But see, what God's not going to do is that he's not going to force his way into your life. So we're off kind of on the side, worried, 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 and then we're just like, you know what, God just, hopefully God's going to take care of this. And then he doesn't. He doesn't answer it maybe the way that you want, or the circumstance doesn't change. And then we get mad at God. We get frustrated at him. He didn't deliver. He didn't save me. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And yet we didn't step out in faith and seek first his kingdom. Because here's what happens in that, is that we've now invited God into our lives and into our circumstance. You see, he said, in the midst of anxiety, seek first his kingdom. Not talk to everyone else about our problem to see if we can come up with a good solution. Not even, hey, let's get this thing out on the prayer chain so everyone could be praying about it. But seek first his kingdom and his will. Like, that's something only the Spirit of God can do. So when you leave this place, don't go, I'm going to seek first his kingdom. That's an act of prayer that we need to be praying. In the midst of worry, of saying, hey, God, I'm going to bring this to you, and I need you to get in the midst of this. I need you to change my perspective on this situation, Change my perspective on this circumstance. I need you to be able to help me give this over to you. So the amount of pride we have in our life is equal to the difficulty in being able to do that. So if you have pride in your life, which we all do at some level, right? That's the root of all sin. It's very difficult sometimes to come before and say, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm surrendering this over to you. And so we lay that down before him, and then we walk away trusting in him, putting our faith in him. And then when we didn't realize it in the night, we snuck back over and we stole it from God. And then we started worrying about it. Then we just walk it back, you know, and leave it back with God. And sometimes, you know what? You just get your Fitbit on. You're going to have a lot of steps, right? You're going to be walking back and forth, because that's the nature of this, is that we fight in the midst of this. It is a struggle. But the reason why he said that is to say, hey, listen, when your mind is on worry, it's going to suffocate the life that I have for you. Look what the Apostle Paul said. He said in Philippians 4:6, he said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says, hey, listen, don't be anxious about anything. If you are, bring it to God in prayer. It's an incredible habit to get into. Is that, hey, you know what? We can talk all day long about our stress. You know, as husbands and wives, we can talk all day long about our stress. But maybe the first thing, instead of just like talking about it, say, hey, you know what? Let's just pray. Let's just bring it back to God. Let's allow him to do the work that he can do in us. Let's hand this over to him. And as Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I mean, faith sometimes is just throws logic out the window. Because in the midst of all this, what he's saying is peace, when we put our faith in God, who's all powerful, peace that surpasses all understanding. So that means that, hey, when you do your budget and your budget doesn't line up, that there's like nothing left and you're stressed out about it, God can give you a peace that's going to be all right, that he's going to walk you through even when it doesn't line up on the bottom line. When it comes to your relationships, and you know what? It's not fixed. It's not better. But he can give you a peace in the midst of that. That's what it means beyond all understanding, because our reason's like, nope, it's not going to work. That's not going to help. God needs a miracle right here. And he's saying, no, if you just trust in me, that's that peace that's available to us. And then if you follow that chapter kind of down, he ends this in verse 19. He says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God will supply every need. Do you believe that? Like, if we're really honest, I don't think, I'm going to say all of us, there's maybe a few of you, but I think most of us don't believe that. Just be real, no Christianese here. Let's just be honest. How many of us really believe that God's going to supply every need? And we're not talking about just money and relationships, but like love and security, peace. Like, do we really believe that? Because here's the thing, like, if we don't believe that, then that just leaves the door wide open for worry, right? Because if we don't believe that God's going to do that within our own lives, or he's really going to supply, well then, yeah, we're going to worry, because then it's up to us. You see, that's not what he intended for you and I. That's not what he intended. And yet that's what we do. So here's the thing when it comes to our relationship with God. Honesty is where growth happens, right? Being real. Like, that's what I hope most about this community, you know, the Grove, is that we're honest and real about where we're at in our relationship with God. Not putting on some facade, not acting like we're better than we really are. Because here's what happens in that, is that we start, that's a lie, and we're throwing lies out, and those lies distance ourselves from being honest before God and being honest in a community that's supposed to sharpen one another, encourage one another, love one another, care for one another. I mean, so if we tell this kind of lie that, you know what, we're all supposed to be good, we're all supposed to have great marriages, we're all supposed to be okay, I got cancer, that's okay, I'm good with it. It's okay to not be good. It's okay to not be happy. It's okay to be stressed out. It's okay to, you know, experience anger, to have all of those things. It's okay to reveal all of those things. What God wants to do is that God wants to insert himself in those things and bring you to a different place. But if you don't know where you are and you don't want to admit where you are, then you're not going to know where God wants to take you because you're just kind of living this lie. And so we don't want to do that. So here's my thing with worry, and I'll leave it at this, is that worry is a divider between you and God. Worry reveals our lack of faith. When you experience worry this week, it's to do what Jesus said. Seek first his kingdom, then do what Paul said. Bring it to him in prayer. And allow it kind of be that measurement, that barometer about where your faith is at. And to say, you know what, God, I have no faith, apparently. I need you to give me faith. I need you to strengthen me. I need you, as I've been talking the last few weeks, to have the courage to step out of the boat so that when I see you answer prayer, when I see you respond, that it increases my faith. You see, the only way for us to be able to increase our faith is by stepping out in faith. Like, there's no silver bullet to make that happen. It's like you gotta kind of extend your own faith in order to grow in faith. But that's where it starts. And so let's not be worriers. Let's not get down on someone who is a worrier. But let's do what Jesus said. Bring it back to him, give it to him, and continue to give it back to him. And to be freed from what he wants us to be freed from so that we can experience the life of the present right here today. Would you join me in prayer?